Welcome to Rights Watch. This is a special edition of the show with a story from veteran public radio reporter Anne Garrels. Access to pain relief is practically non-existent in most of the developing world. The issue isn't cost. Pain relief, like morphine, is relatively cheap. Anne Garrels looks at how the human rights movement is making the case for palliative care.
In Nairobi, Kenya, 5-year-old Jethro died of AIDS. He was on antiretroviral treatment for HIV, but it didn't work. And when it failed, his loving mother, Susan, could not relieve his suffering.
I could tell he was in a lot of pain because his body was straightened, and you could tell he was struggling because he was screaming. He died in pain.
This is what the end looks like for most who die of AIDS-related illnesses or cancer. Kenya does not procure oral morphine as it does other essential medicines, and the problem isn't money. It's rooted in the war on drugs. Opiates like morphine are considered dangerous. Developing nations are so concerned about the potential for addiction or the illicit use of opiates, they make it almost impossible for doctors to prescribe them. In Guatemala, a patient, however close to death, has to travel to the capital, often a long and expensive trip, to get a stamp that states a prescription for opiates is official. The result of such hurdles is that in many countries, the strongest painkiller patients have access to is aspirin. Dr. M.R. Rajagopal has been fighting to advance palliative care in India for 17 years.
The process is so complicated that nobody bothers. If you need 4 licenses issued with the concurrence of 3 different agencies, naturally the bureaucratic tangle is so complicated that it doesn't work.
Urged to change its laws, the federal government removed burdensome regulations, but half India's states have resisted. And simplifying regulations doesn't do much if doctors still won't prescribe the medications. According to Dr. Rajagopal, only 5 of India's 300 medical schools teach about pain relief.
We are working with the Medical Council of India to include pain management and palliative care in the undergraduate and postgraduate curricula.
Human Rights Watch has stepped in to bolster efforts by people like Dr. Rajagopal. It makes the case pain relief is a legal right. Most countries have signed on to a series of international conventions which basically state, while a government has the obligation to control abuse of opiates, it also has the obligation to make sure these medicines are available to people in pain.
You know, 80% of the morphine that is consumed in the world is consumed in 6 countries or 7 countries. It's just incredible the amount of suffering that that meant.
That's Liliana De Lima. She's the director of the International Association for Hospice and Palliative Care. She says the shift in emphasis is beginning to have an impact.
After Human Rights Watch and then other people who are interested in putting into the legal perspective, the governments are looking at it in a different way and reacting, which is wonderful.
Countries that haven't made changes cite concerns that morphine and other opiates will make it onto the street. But Diedrich Lohmann, a senior researcher with Human Rights Watch, says the abuse of legal opiates is actually rare.
The chances that a cancer patient who is suffering from severe pain and has a dire need for these medications, or that a relative who sees the patient suffer will take away these medications and start selling it on the street is really small.
He points to Uganda, where the government has taken a progressive attitude to pain relief. It's changed laws to reduce hurdles. And in a country where doctors are in short supply, it now allows nurses to prescribe morphine. Lohmann says Uganda shows palliative care is possible in even the most resource-poor setting.
And we've not come across any evidence that there's been an increase in misuse of the medications. In fact, the International Narcotics Control Board, which kind of oversees the UN drug conventions, has praised Uganda for allowing nurses with special training to prescribe these medications.
It takes training and rules to ensure pharmacies, doctors, and nurses are accountable. But Liliana De Lima says successes in countries like Uganda and her homeland, Colombia, show end-of-life treatment is as vital as trying to cure the underlying disease. And she believes they show drug control can go hand-in-hand with making sure controlled substances are available for legitimate medical purposes. She says this is not an either-or proposition.
It's complicated, but it's not difficult. You just have to get all the things in place.
The work of Human Rights Watch, local NGOs, and a few exemplary countries have got people talking. Romania, Peru, and Panama are now taking steps to eliminate barriers to pain relief. But progress is slow. In India, Dr. Rajagopal is still beating his head against a bureaucratic wall.
A 99% chance that you will have no options but to die in pain, in unbelievable suffering. If you are very rich, it may be one kind of suffering, like an intensive care unit and all needless monitors and machines, but not pain relief. If you are not rich, you will be sent home saying there is nothing more we can do for you, and there will be pain.
This modest, soft-spoken physician says it's now time to shout from the treetops that governments have failed in their legal obligations.
That was Ann Garrels reporting for Human Rights Watch. The program was produced with help from Barrett Golding of Hearing Voices. If you have comments or questions, get in touch with us at podcast@hrw.org. You can see two video pieces about the struggle for palliative care in Kenya and India on our website. That's hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch.